inis go cuarmach ag do scrúdfáilte na teoiricha agus na ceisteanna a ghabhann le cuid e.
Countdown to 8:06 on 2FM. Now, of course, this year, out of the 50,000 or so Leaving Cert students, there will be many of you listening who've decided not to go on to third level education. So what are the steps if that is the path you want to follow? Well, Paula Mullen, executive and careers coach, joins me now to give you all the best tips for getting your perfect job. Thanks very much for joining us, Paula.
You're very welcome, Paddy.
Well, first of all, we'll start, I suppose, by saying that we're in the middle of one of the worst recessions the country has ever seen. We have to say that. Is it still a good idea for students to go straight into the working world?
Yeah, well, I think what we're finding at the minute is there's a lot of students that feel that that's going to be the best option for them. What we tend to notice is we hear all about the jobs that are lost in the country at the minute. And I'm not denying that the reality is pretty tough out there. But we don't get to hear about all the jobs that actually do exist. The difference is in today's age, we have to be much more, I suppose, diligent, much more enthusiastic, much more thorough in our approach in getting those jobs. So that means when it comes to, you know, making sure that you've got a CV that's really going to stand out from the rest of your peers. That means to preparing for an interview and really getting into the detail of, you know, what's going to be involved in that interview. So the jobs are there, and I do recommend that people, when they're at this point of thinking, is it right for me to go out there and get a job, not to jump into anything too quickly, to think about what really interests them, what motivates them, what area most appeals to them, because in doing so they'll start to form a career that's going to be the right career for them.
I mean, at this stage, if you kind of have sort of an inkling as to what, oh, I think I might like to do that, or but like maybe you're not 100% sure at this stage, would you have advice for anybody who, well, they know that they don't want to go to college perhaps, but they want to get into a certain sector? What would you say to people that are unsure?
Yeah, well, I meet a lot of people that are in that place that they're incredibly unsure. And the first thing that I would say to them is try and identify what it is that appeals about that particular line of work. You know, is it because you're going to interact a lot more with people? Or are you more technically minded and you prefer to be in something of that kind? But the next thing, it's quite a simple approach, but get out there and talk to people who work in that industry. You know, people are always willing to offer advice. People, you know, it might be friends of your parents, it might be aunts, uncles, you know, people out there that are involved in those jobs, get talking to them directly. And rather than, what I find, people can have romantic notions of what certain jobs are involved. And, you know, they think it all sounds so great and it all sounds glamorous. But the reality of that job can be very, very different. So when you get to talk to somebody, you get to hear the reality of it and then decide, well, OK, is that for me? You know, is that something that I'm willing to work at? Is that something that I'm willing to really get involved in? So that's an important piece for them.
Now, at this stage, how important would you say are something like internships?
Yeah. They're really, I mean, and people find that it's hard enough to get the internships. But what I say, going back to the point I made earlier, you have to stand out from other people. You have to show that you're really enthusiastic, you're really hungry for it, that you're willing to go that extra mile. And that's what's going to make you the person that will actually secure the internship. But, you know, what's great about that is, you know, you get to really see how a job works firsthand. You get, you know, and a lot of the time, you know, I've been placed before where I've interviewed people for roles and they have ideas that they're going to jump into the top level straight off. And the reality is we all start at the bottom. You know, we start off making the cups of coffee and we start off, you know, photocopying and, you know, whatever the role might involve. But that's great learning and that's great training for people. And those that are willing to really succeed in a career are happy to do that. So it is, you know, it's definitely, I'd say to people, try and get out there and get work experience, because even at the minute, you know, if there isn't a paying job available, but you really know that it's something that you want to do, offer your time, you know, offer your time, saying that I'm willing to come in and be a pair of hands to get stuck into a job if you're willing to take me on. And people will respond to that. And 9 times out of 10, if you perform well and you prove that you're actually adding value to that organisation and that company or that place, they'll be willing to find a job for you.
You were talking about, you know, students standing out there, and it really is, well, if you're lucky enough to get the internship, or, you know, maybe you're not working for money, but it really does make a difference when you see enthusiasm. Isn't that kind of it? Even if it's, you feel at the start, God, I'm making tea and, you know, I'm not sure this is what I want to be doing. But I see it even when people come in here on work experience in RTE, you can spot the ones that have the enthusiasm. Yeah. They stand out a mile. It's a big thing to have on your side.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. And it's a huge thing that will help people at the minute who maybe are feeling, you know, a lot of people, as I mentioned earlier, are a bit afraid at the minute, and you know, and they're afraid that they're not going to secure a job, and they're, you know, they're in this place. But if they can tap into that enthusiasm and that drive that really lies within them and demonstrate that, and how they can go about demonstrating that is by, you know, asking questions, asking how do things work, offering to say, how can I help out, not to sit back in the sidelines and just observe, you know, really actually show. And you know, and enthusiasm comes across very strongly in job interviews as well. I'm sure we're going to talk about that at a later stage, and there are ways that you can practically demonstrate that enthusiasm in an interview, just by simple body language, by tone of voice, by, you know, being willing to go that extra mile in the interview.
We've gotten the job, so let's take a few steps backwards.
Yeah, exactly.
we're running the company now, and well, look, let's start with the CV. I mean, you were talking about standing out. How do you stand out in your CV?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, your CV has to be accurate. It has to be correct. You know, and if an employer spots spell mistakes, they spot there, you're not going to be considered at all. Second thing, you know, what people tend to do, they try to make their CV expand. They try to expand it out to 2 or 3 pages, but really a concise, sharp CV to the point is much more impressive to an employer. Remembering that employers on average have about 30 seconds to actually read a CV because they have so many coming in. So
the are you talking like one page, or is there any, what's the
For people who are working, you know, who have got quite a career history behind them, 2 pages max, and that's difficult. But if you're, this is your first CV and you're, you know, you don't have very much work experience, perhaps you don't even have any work experience, you know, keeping it to a nice tight one page, whereby you know, really outline at the beginning, even simple things. I've seen before on CVs where people have, you know, spelt their address wrong, they you know, or they've left out an email address, or sometimes what I've noticed, people will include email addresses that are like silly nicknames.
Oh no, yeah.
You know, and it just looks so unprofessional if you've got a nickname at gmail.com, and an employer will spot that. These are things. So just be careful to change that and put, you know, create a new, much more professional one. But you know, getting your information, then obviously going into your experience in school, you know, really recording the types of subjects that you did well in, but also, did you hold any kind of role of responsibility in your school? Were you a class prefect? Were you involved? Mm-hmm. Were you involved in any particular events? So don't really underestimate things that, you know, you did in school and you thought, well, maybe that's not going to matter. That's not going to apply to the real world when it comes to work. These things do apply. So, you know, making sure that it's clear, concise, that you've got the points, that you demonstrate your skills and talents through your CV. You know, for example, say you have worked part-time in a supermarket or in a shop, or, you know, one way of describing that would be stacked shelves, you know, full stop. And, you know, really that, while that is what you did, it's about packaging the information in a much more impressive way. So, you know, whether that was organized and displayed stock, you know, and some people might say, well, is that just lingo that I'm using for a CV? Yes, to a certain extent. And I'm not encouraging people to use lots of flowery language, but try and use strong action verbs that describe what you did. Try and identify, you know, areas of whether you've ever, you know, been involved with customers. Have you ever had to manage money? Have you ever worked as part of a team? So these are all things that, you know, even if you've had very little work experience, they're as relevant in any job at any level, you know. So be careful to try and draw these points out.
Well, again, what should you not put on a CV? I mean, is it, insofar as, should you be listing long lists of hobbies and interests and, well, you know, that kind of more personal stuff that can actually sometimes be relevant to a potential employer?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when people have lots and lots of career experience and then they decide to throw in, you know, walking and reading, you know, it's not really adding much to the CV. But that said, particularly, you know, if we're looking at people who are just leaving school, who have limited experience, but yet they, you know, were involved in coaching a younger football team. I mean, what that shows,
that'd
is,
be great, yeah.
Yeah, managerial skills. It shows leadership skills. It shows, you know, organisational skills. Or perhaps, you know, somebody has a passion for music and is, you know, has shown that they're dedicated to learning a particular instrument. Again, that shows commitment, that shows that they are willing to stick at something and willing to succeed.
Even if something as simple as they organise a band, they book the practice, they book the gigs, you know, that's kind of managerial.
Yeah, it is, exactly.
Acumen there, isn't it? Yeah, like, for something simple. Yeah. I think the bottom line here is, a lot of the time, that people don't realise that they have a lot of special skills and talents, and maybe it's how to identify them, Paul, would that be true to say?
Exactly. It's to reflect on them, and it's to say, you know, to think about things things that you've been involved in the past over the years, you know, because a lot of young people are involved in lots of volunteering experience as well at the minute, you know. So if you have done anything like that, make sure it goes on your CV and be confident to put it on your CV and be proud of it.
Now, references, I guess the point here is to make sure they know that they're a referee. Would that be true to say?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen that before, whereby people put down a name because they think the name looks impressive and the person may not even really know them, which doesn't bode well. So make sure, you know, choose. Ideally, you would have two references. If, you know, in the case of somebody who's just leaving school, that might be, if they have had some employment, that might be a former employer, but it might be somebody in an organisation that knows them well and is willing to speak on their behalf. But give them a phone call beforehand, particularly before you send your CV out. Usually when you get through interview phase, they will let you know if they're going to contact your references.
Okay.
Or your referees, they will let them know. So, you know, but still ask them.
So you can alert them at that stage.
You can alert them and tell them.
I put you down as a referee, say wonderful things about me.
Exactly.
Okay, well, look, I mean, once you've sent a CV, is it a case of sitting back and admiring the handiwork, or should you be sort of reminding people, or what's the done thing?
Yeah, there's kind of two approaches to job search. One passive, one is active, and so many more people tend to go for the passive approach. They send an email out with their CV attached and they think that's it. Now I'll just, you know, cross.
That's a lot of work to get through. You're like, yes, I did that. That's good.
Done.
It's gone into the world now. Yeah. Let it do its work.
And I'll sit back and they'll say,
appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I'm working with people who at the minute who have unfortunately lost their jobs as a result of what's been happening in the recession. And they'll say to me, you know, I don't seem to be getting any feedback. And I've asked them, well, what are you actually doing? And really, it's about creating a plan and, you know, being a bit structured about it. And I often say, when you're applying, looking for a job, treat it like it's a job in itself. So get up at a time that, you know, you would get up as if you were going to work, rather than lying in your bed till 11, 12 and sending a quick email and hoping that'll do it. So create, and there's a number of different things that you can do. You know, as I mentioned earlier about getting out there and talking to people who have worked in, who work in an industry or an area that you would like to get involved in. So arrange to get out and meet them and actually get out and about and go into places and ask, you know, can you speak to the manager, or email in advance and ask for a quick chat and a quick piece of advice. Contact companies directly. So actually send your CV out directly to companies, and, you know, with a really sharp, concise email that explains why you're contacting them in the first place and what you're interested in. Obviously, the world of online, there's a huge, you know, there's so many avenues at which you can find positions online. But, you know, it's being strategic as well, and not just, you know, nosing about and getting distracted on Facebook for hours.
No, well, that can happen. But yeah, it's so interesting that you say that. Like, again, I just know, it's very worthwhile doing, even just to contact an employer, maybe for, as you say, a chat. You never know where that chat might lead.
Yeah.
The employer mightn't feel like, you know, that you're sort of knocking down on their door for a job.
Yeah, I think the best way to go about that, and, you know, this is for people at all levels, and it doesn't matter whether you're leaving school or whether you've been out, you've been working for a long time. I mean, in the world of work, it's called networking, but, you know, really at a very simple level, it's getting out there and talking to people. But the simple way of approaching it is to ask for advice and not to ask for a job. If somebody feels that you're coming along, knocking on their door, saying, I want a job, and they don't have a job to give you, they will be reluctant to meet you because they'll feel bad because they've nothing to offer you. But if you come along and position it, I'd love some advice, I want to get into this area in the future, what would you recommend I do to get there in the future? So, you know, quite simply, that tactic, I see the results of it every day myself.
Excellent. So this, we'll take it, the CV has worked a treat.
Yeah, okay.
You get the call, you're in for a job interview. On a very basic level, like, what should you be sort of preparing? You know what I mean? Preparation for a job interview must be, it's key, isn't it? Because you've got, what, 20 minutes maybe to impress?
Yeah, 20 minutes, 40 minutes max, you know, depending on the level, of course, of which interview you're going for. But most people think that preparation means a quick scan of the homepage of the company that you're going for, a quick scan of your CV, and that's it. And at that level, you won't secure the job if that's the level of preparation that you're doing. I remind people, immerse yourself in it, really get in. You know, if you decide that you really want this job, and I also think that it's important, don't go for jobs that you don't want. You know, people often say, well, I want to just get interview experience. And yes, there's a, you know, there is rationale to that. But at the same time, it can cause problems at a later stage if you're going for interviews and you get the job, you don't want it. You've wasted the employer's time. And, you know, it's about being responsible, you know, when it comes to that. But preparation, sit down and actually going back to your CV, draw out all of the skills that you have listed on your CV and pull out specific examples. Where a lot of people let themselves down in interviews, they talk very generally. I'm good with people. I, you know, have good computer skills. And they talk very general. Tell them about a time when you resolved an issue with a customer and really tell them a story. You know, what an interview is about is actually sharing a number of stories with the potential employer to prove that you can actually apply the same logic in their company. So really identify. And again, this may be getting into more detail, but when it comes to those specific examples, break it down and use the model. I use the model CAR. So context, action, result. What was the context? What happened? What did you actually do? And what was the end result? And if you follow that when you're preparing for an interview for every single example, it will keep you structured. And every time you answer a question, you won't lose your train of thought. So that's one thing that you have to do. When it comes to researching the company, really research the company as opposed to just having a quick glance. So get out there and find out as much as you can about them. Do you know anybody who's ever worked there in the past? Do you know anybody who works there now? Can you have a quick chat with them? You know, and really just preparing yourself in that way. And then obviously the confidence piece is important, you know, to... because it can be quite
but you
daunting.
Don't want to swagger in either. I'm thinking is this a sort of a level of confidence that you should be looking at?
Yeah, well, the confidence, you know, I often have people ask me, well, maybe that'll come across, you know, arrogant if I, you know, I'm too confident. The confidence piece has to happen internally. So be aware of how you're communicating to yourself before you walk into the interview. If you're walking into the interview and in your mind you're saying, I'm going to make a mess of this, they're probably not going to like me, I'm really going to struggle, I'll never get this job, then what happens is you'll communicate in that way. Your body language will reflect that, your tone of voice will reflect that. Whereas if you beforehand internally say, I'm great at what I do, I am the best person for this job, you know, really, it's almost like the self-motivation piece and the self-confidence piece, and prepare yourself in that way, that will be reflected in how you communicate. So I work with people a lot on making sure that they get that bit right beforehand. So yes, but then confidence can be demonstrated as you walk into the room. So walk in with purpose, be, you know, shoulders back, shake hands, and, you know, let the interviewer lead the interview.
Okay.
Don't try and take over, you know, too soon.
Paula, I've got lots of questions myself. Never mind all the Leaving Cert students, because it's so practical, like, you know what I mean? And job interviews, there seems to be lots of pitfalls. And I know there are in CVs as well. It's been really interesting, Paula Mullen. I know that there's lots of different advice as well on your website. So
yep,
where is all that?
PaulaMullen.com. So that's PaulaMullen, MullenM-U-L-L-I-N.com.
Okay, paulamullen.com. Listen, Paula Mullen, thank you so much for joining us and giving us all that advice about CVs, careers and job interviews and all the rest. It's been an absolute pleasure. Countdown to 6 on 2FM.